You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, where we've got action on the level at Nottingham, two jumpers at Warwick and Chepstow. Then it's the evening, we're at Kempton Park, and there's an Irish card at Fairy House as well. So something for everyone to enjoy from 12:10pm on Wednesday afternoon. It'll be Gareth Topham, Andrew Mount and Sam Turner joining you in the studio. But in the meantime, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm all right, Sam. Thank you for that very formal intro. Mr. Ross Briley.
Mr. Ross Briley. I felt when I'm in the presence of superiority, I should address them as such.
Wow. Well, you'll be pleased to know, Sam, that it very rarely happens to me.
I don't believe that for a second, Ross.
Mr. Ross Briley. I'm trying to think of the other times where I would actually be referred to as Mr. Ross Briley. In court? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe when you're being escorted out of a premises.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. As they're making a note that I should never be allowed back in. It was Mr. Ross Briley, was it? Right, fair enough.
Banned, yeah, banned.
Yeah, all the doctors. That's about it.
Yeah.
Mr. Ross. But Briley? But you got my name right, so.
Well,
that's
yeah.
Better. Thanks, Sam.
That's not a problem at all, Ross.
It means a lot. Your journalistic integrity really brings this podcast together, I feel.
That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. We must move on, though, to discuss some racing recently. We'll start with a brief touch on the Melbourne Cup. Kudos for those listeners who were up to watch it. Won by 100-1 shot, Prince of Penzance. The British hopes in the form of Trip of Paris. Credible, again, from him in fourth place. Seems to have been a theme of his since the Ascot Gold Cup. Every run since has been credible.
Oh, yeah, what a horse.
Yeah.
You'd absolutely love to own him.
Mm.
Bearing in mind, a year or so ago he was winning handicaps around Kempton. And he's basically, like I said, taken you to Ascot and then and all the way down to Melbourne and to run an absolute blinder as well. So obviously a little bit frustrating for the Raiders. But the home team got one over on us and... you know, there is a bit of a rivalry developing, I think.
Yeah.
Recently. Even down to the point of them buying horses from us that they might win the race. And then it's almost rubbing extra salt in the wound. But, yeah, Prince of Penzance was pretty unconsidered, despite the fact that he'd run a blinder behind the United States only a week or so ago. So he wasn't winning out of turn necessarily on form, but... I think everyone got distracted by the sexier performers. And the first female rider to win a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
The Melbourne Cup as well. So a huge result, really.
Yeah, massive for Michelle Payne, as you say. The first female rider in 155 editions to win the Melbourne Cup. Quite something. We'll just touch briefly as well. A couple of hefty bans handed out. Frankie Dettori sat with a one-month ban and a $20,000 Australian dollar fine. On the second, Max Dynamite. Jamie Spencer back in fifth and Big Orange with a 14-day ban. Some hefty bans handed out there.
Yeah, I haven't seen the race. We're recording this at sort of midday.
Yeah.
It was at 4 a.m. I actually did, my brain did wake me up roughly around 4 a.m, almost as if it was like, oh, the Melbourne Cup's on. But then I'd missed it and I was far too disorientated to know what was going on. So I can't possibly comment on it, but I'm gonna have to go back and watch it now just to see what happened.
Yeah.
Have you seen a replay?
I've watched a very brief replay, but I saw the replay before I'd heard of the bans, so I was more watching the winner rather than watching Frankie's ride and Jamie's ride. So my eye wasn't drawn to them, so I haven't seen the replay since hearing of the bans.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to have a good look. Because it does remind you sometimes how lenient we are in this country.
Yeah, compared to other countries, certainly does. We'll move ahead to some action that we saw domestically yesterday. Of course, all the big chasing protagonists are coming out later on today as we record this podcast. We'll see Side of Grugy reappear at Exeter. But yesterday, we saw Silvagnaco Conti given a pipe opener, shall we say, over hurdles. We probably don't expect to see him over hurdles again, but Connection's very pleased with him in second behind Brother Ted. The market got it spot on. Brother Ted was favourite for that. Mm-hmm. It was just a bit of a tune-up for Silver Niarco Conti, but you couldn't be disappointed with the run.
No, it was an absolutely cracking run. He was prominent. He was very, you know, keen to get on with things. And it was an interesting move as well to revert him to hurdles. He didn't have an overly hard race, but he certainly, like you said, it certainly was a pipe opener. He got beat by a horse who had a really good record at the track, and he managed to hold on grimly for second from an improving type who was coming home strongly as well. So I thought there was a lot of promise in that. Of course, it was he won't see that. He'll never see those horses ever again.
Yeah,
he was the guest star. He was like Paul Scholes coming and playing five-a-side football with you.
Yeah,
you'd be like, all right, Paul. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, this is just enjoy this because you're never going to see the likes of me down here.
Sure.
But yeah, I thought it was a perfectly respectable return. And all systems go from here on in.
Yeah, interesting to see him running in a Potemps qualifier. He won't be there for the final, will he, Ross? Or is that a possible target from Silver Niarco? Yeah.
No, it'll be the King George. He'll just go.
He won't be in the Potemps final.
He's just going to Kempton, isn't he? Have a day out at Kempton, just remember what it's all about.
Yeah, certainly. Also, Smad Place, we must mention. 14-1 shot for the Hennessy now on the back of his run yesterday. Mm. Again, did it very nicely.
Yeah, contrasting thoughts. On the one hand, I think prominent tactics around that track at Kempton are very much favoured, so I think he did get the run of the race. On the other hand, he's been a hard horse to win with recently, so the fact that he got his head in front and battled on grimly from a decent type means, you know, I've never been a big Smad Place fan, but it might well be that it all comes together this year. So, and those tactics certainly, I don't mind a prominent run around Newbury either for those kind of big races. So, yeah, I was overly impressed with Smad Place because I thought he was 2.5 miles. I thought he might struggle, he might be tapped for toe a little bit. I was impressed because I was slightly against him. I had a bit of an extra impression on me.
Okay, good. We'll move on then to take a look at some of the action on Wednesday. We've got four races to look forward to. One on the level at Nottingham, a couple of jumpers from Chepstow, and then we've got that listed event at Kempton in the evening. We'll start with the flat contest at Nottingham. This is their 225. It's a handicap over an extended 5 furlong trip. 17 of them to sort out for this class four. Russ, what did you fancy?
It's a good little race, a very good little race. There's a lot of these Nottingham Sprint handicaps at the back end of the season, and they're the ones where you if you have a placebot or a jackpot or something, and you sit down and you go, right, I'll have a look, and you get to this and you go, oh, God. But I actually thought a couple stood out here. The main one that stood out was the top weight, Appleberry, who managed to win a valuable race at Hamilton back in May, and then run a really nice race here at Nottingham in a Lister contest. Because of that, she went up £7, which meant that she's had to run in some really hot races since then. But the handicap has gradually edged her back down. She's come down to a mark of 85. And Mick Appleby is always a horse. He's always a horse.
He's never a horse.
He's never been a horse. He's always a trainer to watch out for in these kind of events. He won this race last year with It Must Be Faith. Back end of the season sprints like this, he ends up finding perfect races for these kind of horses. Drawn in box one, he's a potential slight concern. But given the big field, I imagine they will split. Appleberry was the one I was interested in. The other one was I'll Be Good, who I thought ran a really nice race at Haydock last time we saw him. But he's quite hard to win with, but he'll probably be overpriced. I thought Appleberry had a leading claims, and I do like a good class dropper in this kind of event.
OK, Appleberry then, the top weight, getting the pick for Ross in that 225 at Nottingham. We'll move ahead to a couple of jumpers now from Chepstow. We start with their 215, and obviously limited handicap chase for us here over an extended 2-mile trip. 11 of them down to go to post in this Class 3. Who made the shortlist?
It's a tough one. It really is a tough one. Again, Chepstow, this time of year, there's some really nice horses coming out, but they're coming off the back of the breaks, the vast majority of them, and you're having to try and fill in the gaps to an extent. I thought Blandford's Gunner was quite interesting. He's very lightly raced. He comes from a yard who are in pretty good nick. They had a good day at Ludlow yesterday. They also had a winner at Cheltenham last week. They're just starting to get into the swing of things. He's only had 5 runs over hurdles, and they've decided to stick him into a handicap chase on his first outing over the bigger obstacles in public. He had some half-decent form last year, and he's related to a couple of horses who definitely improved for chasing. and in the end distance. We might need a little bit further in time, but I thought Blandford Gunner was very interesting. Imagine the Chat's also worth keeping an eye on as well. A heavy ground bumper winner who stepped up in trip and won very nicely at Bangor on D-back in April. That form's not fantastic, but he comes from an intriguing yard. He's likely to be well backed as well. All of Rebecca Curtis's have been recently, but I thought Blandford Gunner could offer some value.
Okay, Blandford Gunner then in that Chepstow event at 2:15. One more from Chepstow to come. This is the 3:20, a handicap hurdle here over 2 mile and 7. 13 runners down for this one. What did you like?
Yeah, Sykes is going to be very interesting probably be heavily backed here. An improving type from the Philip Hobbs stable. We only saw him 10 days ago over at Aintree in a very competitive handicap hurdle. Managed a dead heat with another hugely unexposed horse in the shape of Optimistic Bias. I think he's very much going to be the one to beat. But I'm probably just going to side with The Eagle Has Landed, who comes from the Paul Nicholls stable, who traditionally have a great record here at Chepstow. They're in very good form. Again, he's not really beat much, but he has won here at Chepstow. And although he made a bit of a meal of it beating for and against last time out, they were 25 lengths clear of the rest. I think he's got more to offer, The Eagle Has Landed, and I like that course form as well.
Okay, The Eagle Has Landed then for Paul Nicholls for Ross bidding to get the hat-trick up. We'll move on then to a Kempton race now. This is a listed event there, 7:10. A mile and a half is the trip for the nine of these that go to post. And the weight's headed by Firefighting, who has just been on the go, really, since February. Seems to have been absolutely everywhere, but does come out of his races well every time.
Yeah, can't knock him. He's won two races. He's coming into, like you said, coming off the back of a two wins going for the hat-trick. One at Chelmsford and a listed race at Dundalk. Not a particularly strong listed race, but he's got excellent form around here at Kempton. He ran a couple of nice races earlier on in the season. He's never actually won here, but he's placed on 5 of his 7 starts. Really impressed with the way Hamley went about it at Wolverhampton last time out. He also has course and distance form. But the one I'm going to go with is Missed Call, who's very much a horse running herself back into good nick as well. She had a bit of time off the track after running at Chester back in August, came back after a 2-month break and went down fighting, finishing second to a rapidly improving stablemate in a Group 3 last time out. Again, she's another one with course form. She's won here at Kempton in the past, and I think she's peaking at the right time. So Missed Call will be the pick.
Missed Call then for us in that 7:10 event at Kempton. Just remind us, please, one more time, your 4 selections for the action on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll go for Appleberry in the 2:25 at Nottingham. We'll have Blandford's Gunner in the 2:15 at Chepstow. Then we will have The Eagle Has Landed in the 3:20 at Chepstow. And waiting all the way from the 7:10 at Kempton, it's going to be Missed Call.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Ross Briley ahead of Wednesday's racing. And you'll hear every race live on Racing Radio from 12:10 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Andrew Mountain, Sam Turner in the studio. It's Nottingham, Warwick and Chepstow in the afternoon, Kempton in the evening, and an Irish card from Ferry House. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Ross, and best of luck with the selections.
Fingers crossed, Sam. Fingers crossed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.